Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the enjoying your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know he's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
opportunity to be in the presence one more time, so we're honored just to be here. We thank God for this another night of Bible enrichment. Truly, God is just blessing us and continuing to bless us. So we are grateful and thankful to all that he's done and what he's still doing. Amen. Amen. I mean, we're just grateful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. One more time. It's just a blessing to God just to be here. Truly, he's continuing to keep us and continuing to lift us, so we're grateful for that. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for all that you've done, what you're still doing in our lives, oh God. We ask that you continue to go with us and stand by us and keep us, oh God. Give us knowledge, understanding, revelation of your word tonight. We thank you, oh God, for those that's tuned in tonight, our radio broadcast, and those that are here tonight on campus. And we thank you for those that will be tuned in tonight, oh God, for our Facebook Live. We bless you, we glorify you, we magnify your name, because you are worthy to be praised. So we just thank you for everything that you've done and what you're still doing in our lives. So we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. And we owe it all to you. And this is our prayer in your darling son Jesus' name and for his sake. If your heart said amen,
amen,
amen, amen. So we are thankful to God for this opportunity to be here once again to share a word of God with you, God's people. And we're thankful and grateful for that. Truly, God is blessing us, and God has kept us, and he's still keeping us. How many of you know he's a keeper? He is a keeper. So, we are grateful for all that he's done and what he's still doing in our lives. We are going to continue on in our study. Been dealing with should God's house lie in ruins, and it's been a good lesson for us, and it's been a great lesson, and we're grateful to God for opportunity to share it with his people. Amen. We're going to go into our second outline on tonight. We want to welcome those of you tuned in on Wondrous Word broadcast, and to those you are here on campus tonight, and those of you be tuning in via our Facebook Live. We thank God for you, and we honor you on tonight. But let's see what the Lord is saying to us. God bless you. We see people popping on tonight. We give them glory and honor for each and every one of you. God bless you. We see you all. Amen. God bless you all. Y'all let them know. Yes, the bishop is on. Go and tag a friend, tag someone, let them know the bishop is on tonight. Blessings, blessings to you as well, Sister Tessa. God bless you all. Amen. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen. We're going to continue on. We was off last week, and we're coming back again this week to continue in this lesson. Amen. But we are dealing with God's house. Should God's house lie in ruins, or why is God's house lying in ruins? What is it that we can do? What's our purpose? What's our assignment to keep God's house moving the way it should be moved? Yes, we'll keep you in prayer and lift your family up in prayer. Amen. In the time of bereavement, we're praying for your strength. Amen. For your family and for you, you all that's going through this time, what you're going through. But we want to know and understand, greetings, yes, you all, see you all coming on tonight. Let someone know the bishop is on, he's back, he's on tonight. Should God's house lie in ruins? We're going into our second outline. We're going to deal with Haggai's application to the church, what he's letting the church know. And we understand that we face similar tasks today when we look at this outline, when we look at what God is saying to us. And we are understanding that this is not a building of a physical stature. When we go into a little deeper of God's house lying in ruin, when we look at ourselves, amen, we are not talking about building a physical structure, but we're looking at the spiritual structure, which is our own self, our own lives, our own bodies. For God does not dwell in temples made with hands. That's what we need to understand. Let's go to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17, around verse number 24. Acts 17:24. God don't dwell in temples made by hand. Acts chapter 17. Are we doing okay tonight? Okay. Checking. Just checking, seeing if we are all right. I put them over here. Oh, I got to find my readers. Acts 17. Verse number 24. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he does not live in man-made temples. He's letting us know God doesn't live in man-made temples. And sometimes we try to go out and build the biggest temple and the better looking temple. We want to build these structures, and it's okay to have a nice structure and to have a nice building to go in, but when we begin to put more emphasis on the building, amen, then the Lord, he's letting us know in scripture, God don't dwell in man-made temples. And you can go out and build a mega million dollar temple. And have, I'm talking about worldwide, have so much things going on in that facility. But you can have the greatest facility in the world, but it does you no good if there's no anointing in it. Amen. If no one is being healed, delivered, set free, you just got a nice building. Everybody come in the same, leave the same. It really does you no good. If there's nothing, if there's no impact in the lives of people, we got to have a place where we're making an impact in the lives of people, where people's lives are being changed, being touched, and things are turning around for them. But it does us no good to just go and build this great facility and there's no anointing. There's no healing. There's nothing going on in the place. It's just a showcase. Just to see, look what we've done. And that's why a lot of times people go and want to build things just to say, look at what we did. But there's so much hatred and bitterness still going on in the building. Nobody's life have been changed. And we need to understand this is not a physical structure in which we are talking about. This is a spiritual structure. God dwells, he don't dwell as the Bible teaches us in unclean places. Amen. But God does not dwell in temples made with the hands of man. The temple of God is now the church. And we understand and know that we are his church. We the people, we are the church of God in Christ. Amen? Let's see. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. He's dealing with us. We got to make sure our temple are right. Come on, because you can have a nice building, but if your temple isn't right, and when you leave the building, your temple still isn't right, you just wasted your time coming. Amen. All you did is say, look, we got a nice building. Y'all come see. And people put more emphasis, watch this, on come see our church. Are you there? When folk build nice sanctuaries and have nice facilities, the emphasis that's mainly put on you inviting someone, come see our church. Come see what the Lord blessed us with. Amen. Is more structured around the building and not what's happening inside the building. Amen.
Amen.
And this is what we need to understand. God doesn't live in places made by hand. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 2. But Paul is saying here, look, I'm writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. That's something when God have personally called you to be his people. Amen. He made you holy by means of Jesus Christ, just as he did for all the people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. God made us holy by means of his only son, his son Jesus Christ, because of what he did for us on Calvary. He died for us, shedding of his blood. He made us holy through his son, by means of his son Jesus Christ. We have been called to be his own holy people. Yes, you can be holy because you've been called to it. You've been called to it. Huh? You've been called by means. Watch this, because Corinth was a giant cultural melting pot with a great, watch this, diversity of wealth. And a lot of wealth, a lot of religions was going on, a lot of moral standards, had a reputation for being fiercely independent, as a descendant as any city in the world. Watch this, because the Romans had destroyed Corinth around 146 B.C. now after a rebellion. But in 46 B.C., the Roman Empire, Julius Caesar, rebuilt it because of its strategic seaport. By Paul's day around 50 A.D., the Romans had what? Made Corinth the capital. In this present day, it's called Greece. It was a large city offering Rome great profits through trade as well as military protection of its ports. But the city's prosperity made it ripe for all sorts of corruption. You know, when you got a lot of money and a lot of things, look, wealth going around, there's going to be some corruption somewhere. There's going to be some trickery somewhere. There's going to be some misdealing somewhere. Huh? When you got a lot of things like that, idolatry flourished. And there were more than a dozen pagan temples employing at least 1,000 prostitutes. Corinth's reputation was such that prostitutes in other cities began to be called Corinthian girls. Because you got everything coming in because what? It's on and popping. Let me give you an example. Let me see if I can help you, because A lot of times people say, you know, we want to go to the city where there's no sleep. Sin City. Vegas. Come on, it's just like Vegas. Come on, so much going on. You got so much going on in this city. And people start putting up temples, building temples, because they knew there was going to be a game. Trying to outdo somebody else. And see, that's what's happening sometimes, even in the world we're living in now, this time of day now. Too many people are trying to outdo everybody. Trying to have things better than somebody else. And putting up temples. Everybody want to build temples. Everybody want to build churches. Everybody want to become pastors. Come on. But don't have the ability of a leader. Don't know how to lead. But the only reason I want to go ahead on and build me a church or put me a church up is because of what I can get. Come on. How I can manipulate the people. To give, bring their money for my own gain. That's what people are doing. So now you're seeing so many structures go up. So God is sharing with us through this text. It doesn't matter what type of structure that you try to put up in my name. Come on. I don't dwell in man-made temples. Because a lot of time people will do it for the wrong reason. Then try to put God on top of it. God didn't have anything to do with it. In other words, we've learned how to use God's name in vain. So God is saying, well, we're too busy trying to make a structure so beautiful. Get your structure together. Because if your structure isn't right, guess what's going to happen when you walk into that structure you just built? It's going to be messed up. Because you got a bunch of messed up people inside. Folk that got an issue with you, got an issue with you, got a problem with you, got a problem with you. Don't want to get this straight with you. Don't want to get that straight with you. I'm trying to get somebody over here to dislike you. Trying to get somebody over there to dislike you. So you got so much problem, so much going on because you haven't gotten your temple right. So now a lot of bickering and fussing and fighting begin to happen in the temple that you supposedly had built for the Lord. Oh, come on. We're saying we're building temples for the Lord, but so much hell is in the temple. You got pure D hell in the temple that you say is built for the Lord. How is it that we can say this is for the Lord, but we come in and we are the ones that's raising the hell? But this is for you, Lord. Look at what you blessed us with. Bless you with a place where you can come in and blast folk out. Where you can try to destroy people. That's what he blessed you with. For you to be corrupt and try to destroy your brother and sister in Christ. That's what he blessed you with. That's a God that I don't know about. He blessed you with something for you to destroy somebody? Is that the God we serve now? But that's the God we trying to put him, make him look like that's what he is. Hypocrites. We're trying to make him look as though he's blessing us to blast somebody out. this church of Corinth, they had so much going on. I'm talking about they was doing it. Prostitution, so much going on. They didn't care. They didn't care about sin. Where they did it at, it didn't matter. In the temple, outside the temple, on top of the temple, it did not matter. But we want the Lord in an unclean place like that. Lord, you're welcome here. It's unclean. We're going to do what we want to do. Say what we want to say. Blast you out when we get ready to blast you out. But now you want the Lord to come in and bless you. Give you this, give you that. Are we here? Go to right there. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go to chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Going to verse 16. This is what we want the Lord to do. Look at what verse number 16 says. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? We don't even know who we are when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't know who we are. First of all, we got to know who we are. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God lives in you? You got His Spirit living in you. Watch this. God will destroy anyone who destroys His temple. For God's temple is holy. And you are that temple. He will destroy anyone who destroys His temple. Come on. That's why when you look at people today, some people you went to school with, come on, they look far older than they should. Because they start destroying the temple of God. He says, I'll destroy anyone. What? Who destroys my temple. So you go down. You're being destroyed when you're putting so much stuff inside of you. Come on, you drink so much liquor, you're tearing up your liver, you're tearing up everything, and you're looking, I'm talking about you're looking bad. You're on drugs, guess what, you're looking bad. So it won't be long before you're gone. It has to be purged out. That's why the purging process has to take place. The purging process has to take place. Got to be purged out of you. Amen. So you go through some things. But that's why they have detox. What is our detox? That word. That word is our detox. We come and get that word and it cleanses us. Doesn't matter what we've done and how much we've got in us. When you get that word of God in you, it start purging you. It start taking you through the detoxing process. But you got to want to go through it. You got to want to go through it. Blessings to you.
You got to want to go through that purging process. You got to want to be delivered. You got to want to be healed. And watch this. Sometimes it ain't going to feel good at first. It won't feel good at first when you start going through it, because you've been in it for so long. You're fiending for it, and you just, it's a battle. It's a struggle for you. So you're trying to get, I'm talking about, it's just, you're going crazy. It's just like when you look at the movies and you see people when they're going through the rehab and trying to get off heroin and things like that. Them first 3 days or whatever, they be crazy. It's really affecting them because they want it so bad, but they're trying to get off, so they got to go through that. You got to go through some things when you want to be, yes, the process. When you want to be healed, delivered, you've got to go through it. And the enemy is going to try to keep hold to you, to keep you held in bondage, keep you held down. But your desire has to be stronger than the addiction. Yeah, your desire of being healed have to be stronger than the desire of your addiction. And that's what we can do. Look what it says. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. Come on, even with folks trying to destroy your own temple, trying to destroy the temple that God, knowing that you belong to God, and you got some people that will try to destroy it. He will destroy them. He said, anyone who destroys this temple. There, he's going to fight your battle for you. Come on, when people try to keep you hooked, God will destroy them. Anyone. Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand that they were a unified assembly. All of you together are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you. They will not deceive themselves as a collection of competing interests or independent individuals. Someone said we can do it better together. We can do more together than apart. Paul was emphasizing the intent of Jesus' prayer that believers must be unified in God. We got to come together as a body of believers. What could you do that could connect you with somebody else this week? What is it that you can do that can help unify the body of Christ? This is what Paul was telling us. We are a unified people. We shouldn't be fighting one another, fighting against one another. Encouraging. Because we are unified people. We're believing in the same God, and we have the same purpose in mind to be where He is. We ought to be unified and come together as that body of Christ, to help one another, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to lift one another. Those are the things that we should be doing to help build each other up. If there's going to come some times you're going to feel down, and you're going to need someone to help encourage you and build you up and lift you up. There's going to come a time when you feel like throwing in a towel, giving up. But you need somebody that's going to be positive. That's going to put something good in your ear. Come on, not going to put something in your ear that's going to discourage you. That's one of the issues and problems that's going on today. People are putting so much things in the ear of someone else that discourages them from doing what God has called you to do. Just because things haven't happened for you yet doesn't mean it won't happen. Come on. There's a process in everything that we do. Okay? There's a process in everything that we do, good or bad. There's still a process. You got to go through a process in everything that you do. Come on. You just don't go out and pick numbers and win. Y'all feel me? Come on. You just don't go out, okay, I done went out and picked my numbers. I ain't got the lottery numbers. That don't mean you won. Because you picked some numbers. Huh? There's a process that it has to go through. You got to wait for a certain time for them to put the balls in the machine and for the machine to start blowing the balls around. Huh? For the balls to come out. Come on. And it has to be the numbers that you pick. But if you got some numbers, but if your numbers don't come out, guess what? You haven't won anything. It's a process. Even with that, if they have, good God, if they have order in the world, why can't we have order in the church? Then you just can't come up and say, okay, I got the winning numbers. You still have to go through a process before it cashes out. There's order in the world. But we come into the house of God and we just don't want no order, no structure, nowhere. Folks just want to do what they want to do. So everyone needs an Aaron and an Ur. Need that in your life, because in our process we have to learn how to be accountable to each other spiritually. Got to know how to be accountable to one another spiritually. Come on. Though a spiritual structure, God's temple is still undergoing construction. There's always work going on in the kingdom. Well, if you get to a place where there's no construction going on in the kingdom of God, you don't even need to be here. Because there's always something that has to be worked on. There's always somebody that has to be worked on. Every day. Why we need signs around to let people know, if you really want to understand the kingdom of God, just because people have finished the structure on the outside and have done everything on the inside. Amen? Because you can be finished complete with the building structure, furnishing everything on the inside. Huh? But we still need to have signs up saying construction in progress. We are that work in progress. It might look good on the outside, but we still need to be worked on. We still need to be worked on, because guess what? Every day we get up fighting with attitude. Yeah. Because our attitudes need to be worked on every day. Come on. Yes, ma'am. because the enemy is trying to destroy it. He's trying to destroy your relationship with the Lord. So if he's trying to destroy your relationship with the Lord, and in some cases, he's succeeding, in some cases, people have turned away. There's a great turning away from the Lord in this day and time right now. Now, look, say over a simple thing. Nothing really heavy, just simple things. That's a great falling away. You say, the old school, you say, many are falling by the wayside. Many are still falling by the wayside. That's why there's work that needs to be done every day. When you get to the point in your life where you think you don't need to no longer work in the kingdom of God, something is wrong with you. You think you've done your job because you've invited someone to come into the house? So you think you're finished just because an individual came in and may have joined? So I've done my part? And a lot of times people think that's it. Oh, I did what I was supposed to do. I had somebody come in and join the church, so I'm done. No, you're not done. A never-ending work. Because you're a never-ending work. Because you've been saved how long? And you still got some issues. You still have attitude issues. You still, come on. So you think you're done because somebody comes in and give their life to God and you're happy just for that moment? Then the next moment you turn around, you raising hell? So you tell me you don't need work? But everybody else needs to be worked on. Everybody else got the problem. I don't have that problem. Well, you got a problem. It might not be that problem, but you have one. Come on. And your problem is that you always put somebody else's problem and nothing have to be done to you. You don't never have a problem. That's your problem. You don't never have. No, that ain't me. I don't do that. No, you the one have the problem because you don't have none. So you mean to tell me you're so saved, you're so holy, sanctified, you're all of this. You got everything going on. Come on. But then when something happens in your life, you cry like you ain't got no tomorrow. You so holy now. I'm talking about you so holy, everybody you see you got a word for. You can prophesy in their lives. You can say this and say that, but then when something hit your table, you don't know how to deal with it. And you telling me you don't need no work. I don't know why this happening to me. I don't know why I got to go through this. Why I don't know why. Because you need some work. Need to know how to utilize. It's there for you. Power is there for you. But if you don't know how to utilize it, accept it, and understand that I have it, that I can use it, you're just a body that just powerless in your functioning. You don't know the power that you really have. Because you don't know who you are. Come on, Paul said, don't you know who you are? You are the temple. You don't even know who you are. So if you first of all know who you are. Then you'll begin to understand some benefits that you have. You'll understand that God have given you some benefits just for being his temple. Just for, watch this, just for, watch this, accepting the call. Because he called you to be his own holy people. His own holy temple. He called you. So what? If I call you on your phone, and the phone just rang. Whatever ringtone you got. Batman. San Francisco, whatever ringtone you have, if I'm calling you, you don't accept the call. I can't give you what I have if you don't accept it. Teachbishop.com. You got to be the one to accept what God is giving you. Okay. Because sometimes you can turn it down. And watch what happens when you don't accept the call. You're actually saying, I'm turning this down. You don't want no help. You're rejecting it. Because you don't know what's about to happen in your life. Come on. You don't know. But then what happens? We got this technology now. If I don't answer it, sorry I can't come to the phone right now, but if you leave your name, number, and a brief message, I will surely reciprocate the gesture at my earliest convenience. And you're never convenient. You're never convenient because you never return the call. Come on. And sometimes people miss things. Look, I call people sometimes and, Bishop, I'll call you right back. I'm still waiting on the call. Watch this, especially when you trying to help somebody. They the ones seeked out or sought the help to be helped. Now when you trying to give it to them, they don't return the call. Guess what? I don't call back. Because I don't run you down for something you can't see. Because now what you're telling me, you're rejecting what I'm trying to give you. So, I let it go. I think it's around Mark 6. I think it's around Mark 6. Jesus said, look, they don't accept your blessing. They don't want to accept your blessing. Take it and go give it to somebody else. If you don't want it, I go give it to somebody else that want it. Because there's a lot of people always seeking for something. Seeking to be better. Seeking to go higher. Seeking to do better. Always somebody. Oh, God bless you. Yeah, we're trying. We're doing our best. We're talking the best we can. We're teaching the best we can. Yeah, well, we have to understand. If I don't accept this call, I can't get what the person has for me on the other side. Some call I don't want. calls I turn down. Some calls I know is not good. Yeah, some calls ain't nothing but trouble. Some calls you have to have discernment. No, not this one. Because if I'm having a good day, I'm going to continue to have a good day. And not going to let you mess up my day. That construction in progress. Always, we got to have put stuff up saying construction in progress. And they're trying to look around. What this church look like? It's already done. What kind of construction? No. When you understand construction is in progress, you understand that you are the temple. You are the church. And construction is always in progress. The foundation is the work of Jesus, the apostles, and the prophets. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Amen. I tell you, this is good teaching. This is good teaching, great teaching. We ought to be grateful and thankful for all that God has given us and what He's doing. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 19. Amen. Are we there? Ephesians 2, 19. It talks about the temple of the Lord. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. Come on, we're no longer strangers. He said, you're no longer strangers or foreigners. You are now citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Now watch this. Together, we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the building that the people rejected. We don't need to be rejecting Him. We are brothers and sisters. People accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It doesn't matter who they are. They can be atheists. They accept Him. We are now what? Brothers and sisters. They can be Jehovah's Witnesses. If they accept Him, then guess what? We are now brothers and sisters in Christ. They are no longer foreigners. Whatever they accept the Lord and Jesus Christ in which we trust and believe in, we are brothers and sisters. Okay, watch. Because guess what? You can be a Christian, as we say in our world, a Christian. We are Christians, followers of Christ. Come on. We are followers of Christ. Now, because I'm a follower of Christ, if I turned and went to another religion, they would accept me as their brother. Why? If me being a Christian, now, if I was to say, I'm going to be a Muslim, they will now connect me as their brother. We don't do that. Lost you. do that. We still reject people.
You was a Muslim, you was a Hinduist, you was a Buddhist, you was you ain't my brother.
We reject, but they open up arms and embrace you as their brother and sister. This is how we should be. When people convert over to our faith, we should open up arms and love on them and accept them as our brother because they are no longer foreigners to us. But here we are. We are foreigners to one another, even in the faith, in the Christian faith. We are foreigners. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are foreigners in the Christian faith. Because you got holiness, don't want to fellowship with Baptists. Church of God don't want to fellowship with AME. We don't want to fellowship with nobody but just in our own denomination. Just in our own area. So we are the foreigners towards one another. But we stand up, we preach, we teach, we sing, we talk about this Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth that died on the cross for our sins. But we look at each other as if we are not brothers and sisters in Christ. So we separate this Christianhood. If you ain't one of us, we don't accept people. He's not the father. Bless you all. It's a separation. You know, if you ain't from this hood, you know, you ain't my brother. What's up, brother? You ain't my brother. It's the mindset of people. And how we're thinking, how you're thinking. You're not letting this mind in you that being Christ Jesus operate in you. Wanna compete? Wanna be better? We wanna still be separate. We wanna separate ourselves. Why? If we're believing in the same God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're believing in this. Why can't we come together as we should? What's the problem with fellowshipping with one another? Then folk want to come and say, well, they don't want to fellowship with us, man. I don't want to, because you may have never put out an invitation. A lot of times people listen to other folk. They listen to other people, man. They won't come to you. They won't fellowship with you. So now what happened? I believe what the rumor is being said, because that this mind, I'm believing that. So now I don't put no effort towards the seed. If it is true, if we can really be united, because I'm believing what I'm hearing. Oh, they think they better than that. You better than y'all. You can't get them. You can't get him. Oh, they charge so much money for this and that. And now, they ain't no way they gonna come to a small church. And they just looking for folk that's got big old churches. They don't want nothing. It's so much stuff that people say that we believe and don't even know the truth. We just go off what we hear because, I know that person right there. I know they ain't lying. And just lying from the knit of their grin of their teeth. It's because you know them, huh? So they'll convince you to miss a blessing. Come on, because that's what happens sometimes. People are convinced by somebody else and end up missing a blessing that God has in store for you. Then people are intimidated by certain folk. Because what? It's in the mind. The mindset. It goes back to the mind. Being weak-minded. Yes, sir, D. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It will last. It'll show. That's right. Will show. People resent you because what? Just because God give you a gift. Operate in what you have and do the best in what you have. Come on. Because there are some people that you can touch with the gift that God has given you that you can't touch, with the gifts God has given somebody else. Because God knows what everybody needs. This is one bait. You say, when you go fishing, that fish going to see that one bait. He may see several, but he going to go for that one particular bait, that attraction. That attraction, because unless your hook is intertwined together and stuck together and everything, and you pull up at the same, he bite that same hook at the same time, and that's kind of impossible. But he gonna go after that one little bait that catches his eye. And when he bites it, you know that he's bitten that bait. It's time for you to really mean. Come on. I just might be on the right side at the right time. Just because you went out there and toiled all night and I just came out and just threw my line out and stuff just started coming in. Come on. It's because, baby, I got the right bait. And I got the right bait for that particular fish. Come on. Test more. because they got the right faith. They got the right attitude. Come on, let's put it where we can understand. They got the right spirit. They got the right mindset. Huh? They got the right commitment. They got the right focus. Come on, we've been taking things for granted. Now God sends someone in that has the right stuff. Huh? The right mind. You know, you go looking for somebody, you need the right type, kind of man, got the right kind of eyes, the right kind of, you go looking for them that have the right kind of stuff that you want. Come on, you ain't gonna just fall for any type of bait. So when somebody come in with the right mindset and things start happening, now we look around, but why? Why in the world are they getting all this stuff done? And y'all getting all this blessing. And I've been here. I done put in more time. I've been putting more stuff than that. And they just get here. Now all of a sudden, bam, blessings just hitting them because they coming in with the right mindset. You got to work at it yourself. You got to work at it. You got to find a way out. You got the word. Because all of them is not wasted. All of them is not bad. Come on. Every brick that's in here is not a bad brick. You can still use. Some of them been destroyed. You can't use anymore. The only thing you can use them for is decoration. Oh, God, y'all missed that revelation. Y'all missed that right there. Huh? See, some folk you can't use but for decoration. Come on, all I'm going to do now, I'm going to chop you up, break you up, put you around some bushes to decorate this thing, make it look, because you ain't doing nothing anyway. You ain't going to do us no good, so the only thing you can do is just make something else look good. So that's what a lot of us do sometimes. We just make a lot of other folks look good that's prospering because we're not doing anything. So God, break us up and put us around bushes that's prospering, that's doing something, that's producing. Y'all missed that. Oh, that's all some people are good for. You ain't gonna do nothing. So why waste time with folk that's not going to do anything? But what, there's still always a place for them. Huh? And those that want to fall behind you, you just throw them right on top of you. Because sooner or later, you're going to keep putting some more rock up on top of you. You're going to be at the bottom. So, in other words, you'll be forgotten. So we are joined together. Oh, the Holy Temple of the Lord, through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. It's a sad indictment when you're in the presence of God but can't operate. Don't have any functioning power. You in his presence, but he can't use you like he want to. Because now you're broke up. God don't use you all broke up. In his presence, but you're broken and you're around other broken people. and you can't see your way through all the scattered glass and the brokenness that's around you. Some folk have gotten comfortable just being broken. So all you do is attract broken people. Because everything around you, everything that's connected to you, is broken. Everybody got that's connected and around you got just as many problems and issues as you. So you can't come out because they can't give you anything encouraging to come out. Because they're putting more of their brokenness on top of you. So you can't do anything. And no one knows that you're broken because there's so much brokenness around you. No one knows you're screaming or crying out because you're smothered around all this brokenness. And guess what? No one will find out until, what's it? It's time to go and rearrange or clean up some things. Let me go and redo this. Huh? I'm going to pull these rocks out. I'm going to clean around it. Huh? Refreshing it. Then you can see, okay, this little rock here look a little bit different. I might can use this for something else. I might can restore this. Come on, because everything that's old doesn't mean it can't be you. Yes, ma'am. Red Cross, cleanup crew, trying to find if there's life still somewhere. Is there life amongst us? Amongst all the brokenness, is there life? Can we find life somewhere? Because you're in a cave don't mean you're dead. The soccer team in the cave, they still rescuing. There's still life beyond the cave. But are we willing to volunteer to be rescuers? Are we going to? Are we going to do it? Come on. Why should we allow God's house to continue to go down in ruin when we have the ability and the power? Come on. To deal with it and to make it better. There's still life somewhere. Life isn't all gone. It grows as people are converted by the preaching of the gospel. Let's go there, 1 Corinthians. Let's go there. I'm about done. 1 Corinthians 3. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Verse 5 through 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. You you got to do whatever the Lord gives you. You got to do the work that he gives you. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. You have a particular job to do. You have a particular assignment to do. You must do your assignment. Do your job. Amen? You can't try to water if your job is to plant. And see why things are not prospering and doing what it should be doing, because we're out of place.
Amen.
We're doing somebody else's assignment. God wants you to keep your appointment. Do your assignment. You're not effective because you're trying to do something that you don't have the anointing to do. God didn't give you the anointing to water. He gave you the anointing to plant. Come on. Because you don't know how to put the proper water on it. You'll be to drown the seed. Put too much water on it. You don't know how to do it, but you know how to plant. Then somebody else come and water because they know how to put just enough on it to get it to do what it should do. Come on, because some of us want to go and spend an hour with somebody trying to convert them. No. Your job is just to plant. Now you're trying to water. Now you're trying to grow them all together. Paul's with the water, but God is the one who made it grow. He gets it. Come on. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's most important is that God makes the seed grow. Come on, because the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers and you are God's fields. You are God's building. It doesn't matter who does what, who does the water, who does the most important thing, that the seed grows. Why are you trying to get all the credit? You're working together, hand in hand. Because if there's no seed down, there's no need for no water to come. And if you put a seed down and no water come, guess what? That seed gonna dry up and die. You got to work together. Seed and water works together. You need it. Each other. God makes it grow. Because he knows how to do it. Because you understand there's some things got to take place before it sprout up. It's a process. And it starts underneath. Come on, it starts underneath. It starts within you. So when he starts working on your heart within you, then you can see the joy of it on the outside. When you go through something, you still have joy because he starts working within you. You don't let everything and a whole lot of stuff upset you. Just because somebody talk about you, knock, knock. Who's there? Everybody gonna be talked about. It don't matter who's doing the talking. You gonna be talked about. We talk about folk. So what makes you think nobody's talking about you? So if I worry about what you're saying affect who I am, then I'll never increase in anything. Because if I keep dwelling on what you're saying about me, to the extent you don't even know who I am, but I listen and hear about what you're saying, and I allow that to affect me, I'll never prosper because I'm too busy dwelling and focusing on what you're saying. Because I don't know who I am. But when I know who I am, you can talk all you want. You can say whatever you want to say. But because I know who I am, it doesn't matter. Because guess what? God is going to do the increase. He's the final judge. Mm-hmm. So somebody planted, somebody came and watered. Now God is taking me through the process. Now within my process, if I allow you to interrupt my process, it's going to take me longer to get to where I need to be. But I can't allow you to interrupt my process. Amen? Doesn't matter who does what. Do your part. You have a part to do, do your part. He'll do the rest. God will do the rest. Because guess what? When you're not doing your part, and when somebody else's area is growing, and yours is not growing, probably because you're not doing your part. As the song says, your body's here, but your mind somewhere else. You can't get upset because they done progressed faster than you. They took the initiative to do something about it. This is not where I want to be, so if I take the initiative and focus on what I need to focus on, then guess what? I'll reach whatever goal I put in front of me. Mm-hmm. I might be delayed in some things, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be denied from it. Because there's going to be some delay. There will be delay, even if we are going in the right direction. The enemy is going to keep coming. But in spite of the delay, let me learn what I need to learn while I'm delayed. Because something may be happening ahead of us that we don't know anything about, and that delay is very important. That delay is very important. So that spends give me more time. Watch this, more time with him planning and getting things in order of what I need to do by the time I get to where I need to be. Because right then, God may be bringing something else to give me just a little bit more strength to deal with something that I didn't expect to happen ahead of me. But because of that delay, I got a little bit more strength that I can handle. That's it. That's it. I'm done tonight. Just want to just kind of talk and just kind of give us some insight. You know, what is it that we can do? Should we let God's house lie in ruin? That's something that we can do.